This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Met fans in a full-blown panic with their team losing yet again in a non-competitive game in Philadelphia last night. The Giants winning. I'm still not worried. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be worried about a team that's in a playoff spot. Like, we could pick apart all that's gone wrong with the New York Mets, the starting pitching and how long it's been that it hasn't been very good since June 13th, the inconsistencies of the offense. I'm at a point, and I've been at this point for a while, just get to the playoffs, and then we can evaluate this team. Now, is there reason to believe that they're going to win the World Series? Of course not, but they're still in the playoffs. They're still over 500. I fully believe they're better than the Giants and Reds. Matter of fact, I think it's more likely they catch the Padres for the second wild card spot than it is that they miss the playoffs. So I am not panicking yet.
I don't know what to believe with this team, man. I really don't. Let me say this, though. And yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this yesterday. Like, you know, and Hoff went nuts. And Hoff might be right. We'll see. He thinks it's over. He thinks that the Mets are in the midst of a collapse. He's not alone. I'm not going there yet. But every day that passes where the offense doesn't hit, Manaea gets rocked, other things pop up, Mets lose, other teams win. You've got to at least start with this for me. Because there are a million different ways we can split the pie because there's a lot of problems with the Mets right now. If they give the baseball to Sean Manaea again, they're idiots. Now, they very well might. But they are absolutely out of their minds if they give him the baseball. All right, this is what it should be: the three kids, it should be Peterson, and it should be Clay Holmes the rest of the way. You got 17 games to go, and I know that he stabilized the game, but right away, rocket. Mets down 4-0. All the emotion, all the hope out the window. 17 games to go. He has been an absolute abject disaster this season with 32 earned runs in 50 innings. He is batting practice. The other stuff, we could flush through it all. And
well, do you think they're going to be a playoff team yesterday?
I don't know. I'll tell you this. If they give Sean Manaea two more starts, my answer would change to no.
Well, nobody,
he stinks.
Nobody knows, but do you think that they're going to be a playoff team? Yes or no?
My answer is, if they give Manaea the baseball, no. If they bypass him, then I would say, I still wouldn't say yes.
You think it's about Sean Manaea?
I think Sean Manaea stinks, Al. He's getting lit up every game.
But to me, that is a separate conversation that I'm ready to have with you. I just wanted to get to the playoffs first. The Mets' playoffs hinge on Sean Manaea?
Sal, he gets the baseball every 5 days. They've got now a two-game lead right now. He is by far the worst starter. McClain's better. Sproat's better. Tong's better. Holmes is better. Peterson, who's not been that good, he's better. He's the weakest link, dude.
First of all, I would not have had him in the rotation prior to last night's start. I do not think today is the day to be saying he shouldn't be in the rotation, because actually you can make a case his start last night was the best that we've seen from him.
If that's the case, then the consolation prize. I know he stabilized it.
Whatever
Mendoza said to him, well, I'm not willing to take a chance. I'm just telling you what I would do if I ran the team. Listen, there are other options. Sal, if there were no other options, then you got to run him out there. He has been a zero this entire season. I don't think that he's physically right. I'm not trying to bag on a proud veteran who was good last year, but it is nut cutting time. There are 17 games to go.
Right, so how many is he going to be in?
Too many.
So then how is he the key to whether they're going to make the playoffs or
because
not?
I don't think he gives them a chance to win any game he starts. That's why.
Okay, but you could say that some of the other guys don't do that as well.
Who? Nobody like him.
Manaea, his last three starts, 3 2/3, 4 2/3, 4 2/3. The start before that, 5 innings, 4 runs, which is exactly what you got last night. And last night was actually better because he started out horrible as opposed opposed to starting out great and then fading. Last night, he started out horrible, had that talk with Mendy, and then he went out there and stabilized. So I just don't think that. Now, again, I'm somebody that said Manaea should be in the bullpen. I'm saying this 2 weeks ago. But I'm not saying that today, after last night, he needs to be jettisoned, because maybe it was a turning point for him because he did stabilize and actually gave them a better start than his last three times at the very least out.
And listen, there are moments where guys can self-correct, like Helsley. Maybe right. Helsley is in the early stages of figuring out who he was, okay? Really good outing the other night. You might be right. What I'm saying with Manaea, what I'm saying is I'm not taking the chance.
Okay, but so
I am not running him out there with a dwindling lead and him being batting practice, which is what he's been since he came back this season. It's been terrible. ZRA is almost six, Al. It's not almost 4.5.
BT.
It's not almost 5. It's almost 6.
Congrats. You could read the stats. Watch the game, and then you see that.
But I watch every game he pitches. He stinks.
He did not stink last night after
did
the
Did he give the Mets a chance to win? Did he come out and get bamboozled immediately?
He actually did when he stabilized after 5 innings. They lost last night because they couldn't score again.
I understand that, but even if they scored 3 runs, he gave up 4, so they still would have been behind.
Did Jonah Tong give the Mets a chance to win on Saturday?
By battling, yes, he did.
He did.
He
six innings, 4 runs.
And Manaea, it was probably his worst start, but he battled, and I thought it was pretty... I think it was impressive for a young kid.
But I just find it odd that you're picking on Manaea now when that was his best start maybe that he's had since he's been back.
I'm not picking on him. Sal, let me ask you this. So, okay.
Like, to me, he's not the story.
He's one of the story. He pitched last night. They lost. That's the story. But that's why I said we could split the pie a million different ways.
Yeah.
We could have started the show talking about the Mets offense. Mets offense. Yeah. I mean, anybody get hit? I mean, is anybody going to hit the rest of the year?
Well, to me, that's the bigger issue.
We could have easily done that, but Sean Manaea was pitching like Sproat, or really McClain more so. All right, rough start, big deal. You give him the baseball in 5 days, Mets will be fine. He has been terrible all year. The stats bear it out. The eye test bears it out. The results bear it out. All I'm saying is, and you disagree, that's fine. I would not run the risk. If there's 40 games to go, I got a little more wiggle room.
I got
17 games to go.
So what would you do with him?
I would not start him.
And what would you do with him?
Bullpen.
And then who are you starting now?
I told you. The three kids, Peterson and Holmes.
Right, okay.
So who've all been better than Sean Manaea. Yeah. So you asked me the question. I gave you 5 better options.
Right.
I'm not stretching it out to a 6-man rotation.
Okay,
Senga could go to Double-A for all I care. And I'm not starting Manaea.
Just to be clear, I said this 3 weeks ago.
Well, then why are you changing your mind now?
Because last night is not about him. And last night was his best start. I just gave you the reasons why. It's not about... You think the Mets' reason why they lost to the Phillies 2 games in a row has been Sean Manaea? It's not.
He didn't pitch twice. So I can't say that there's twice that he's the reason.
So what happened consecutively?
I'm gonna tell you, but listen.
They didn't hit.
I know that.
BT, last night was his best start since being back.
But it still wasn't nearly good enough, because when the game started, he allowed the Phillies to put up a 4 spot and went south. If the Mets offense was clicking, well, then maybe, all right, you could work your way through that. When you are not hitting a lick, the Mets ain't hitting at all. And when that happens, you can't give up 4 runs in the first 2 innings. You buried. It's over. The morale, the shot, it's a different vibe. I know he pitched well after that.
That, to me, is more important. Like, the fact that he stabilized in that ballpark against that team where he has got... Like, the reason why Sean Manaea hasn't been good is because he hasn't been able to have the stamina to be good through 4, 5, 6 innings.
I agree with
that. That's been a major problem.
Yeah, he started well and then he usually imploded somewhere. Usually starts well. They're like 3, 4, or 5 innings. He's done. I get it.
So
last night was a different script. He stunk early instead of stinking late.
Correct.
But he's still stung.
And the difference is he stabilized after having a talk with Mendoza. So it would give me reason to say, you know what? Maybe he can figure this out. Maybe he has changed it. They're going to give him another start. But that's not the focus point to me. I mean, or the focal point to me. It should be about whether you think this team is going to make the playoffs or not. And I'm not worried about that. I still think they are going to make the playoffs.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, even with the Giants winning last night and being 2 games, which is essentially 3 because the Mets own the tiebreaker, I still believe it's more likely the Mets are going to catch the Padres for the second wild card than it is that they're going to fall out of the postseason.
God, I don't know how you feel that way. I love that you're hanging on. I don't know how you feel that way based on what they've given you tangibly for a while. They have been an erratic mess most of the season. They had a really good start. They have been pretty much bad for 4 straight months. the guy that everybody counted on, the guy that was terrific last year to give him his due, and we did, Manaea, has been a disaster. Senga's in the minors. The bullpen, all right, again, maybe Helsley's getting his act together, which would be very good for the bullpen, and they could have a good bullpen. I'm not trying to, you know, take a blowtorch to everything about the Mets here, but most of the components, they're not hitting. They're, you know, they're not hitting. Their bullpen's been erratic, and they're just not beating good teams all of a sudden. And more specifically, they've lost a lot of games to bad teams. If there was more time, I would run the risk of experimentation. It's 17 to go. It's time.
Right, but what do you mean run the risk of experimentation?
Meaning I would give him, I would be more willing to say, all right, maybe he did discover something those final few innings and be more willing to give him the baseball and have a start or two. Myself, I cannot justify giving a guy who's been that bad. Now, I know it hasn't always been first inning bad and he's in the showers by the second inning, but it doesn't really matter. If you're bad, you're bad. It doesn't really matter when you're bad. And he has not given the Mets a chance to win.
But if this was
consistently. This year, Sal.
But if he just had his best start last night, why would now be the time to cut bait?
Because I'm not impressed with it.
Right.
Because to me, I think that's
it's best start that he's had.
But that doesn't mean that it's good. That's where you and I differ.
It means he could be getting better.
It could be. I'm just not willing to take the chance.
Understood.
It could be. I'm not taking a chance.
You also said you wanted Helsley out and down to the minors as well, and then he comes in the tight game yesterday or 2 days ago. And
it pitched very well. I gave it up for him.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that he's fixed. It just means, like, you got to pitch somebody.
I hear you. But here's the thing. I gave you five better options than Sean Manaea.
Well, how do you know that they're better options?
Because every time they pitch, they look better than Sean Manaea. Well, that's why.
Sproles pitched one time.
He looked better than Sean Manaea.
Yeah, one start.
And I want to see start two.
Okay, and Jonah Tong pitched twice, and one of his starts was worse than what Manaea did last night.
I don't think it was worse. He went a little bit deeper. I mean, he pitched. I thought he was better.
Six innings, four runs, and he was getting hit.
Which is a quality start.
Give it up, home run.
I know. I get it, dude.
I don't know why you make it about Manaea. What I'm talking about,
because I'm just saying, because he pitched last night. That's the obvious reason.
Do you think Sean Manaea is the biggest reason why the Mets won't make the playoffs if they don't make it?
I think if he continues, I know you want a direct answer, but there's nuance here. If he continues to get the baseball, he will fail. Which, if the Mets don't get the other components together, they will miss the playoffs.
You know what's odd, BT? I was the one saying that I would not have Manaea pitch in the rotation. I would use him as a weapon out of the bullpen. After last night, I'm fine with him getting another start.
I hear you. I mean, I don't. Listen, I look at it this way, and it's not a great comparison, but if somebody comes out, and let's take you're right, because we both stink at golf and we both play with each other recently. Let's say we come out, we go snowman, double bogey, bogey, seven, right? But then we play really good golf the next 14 holes. Guess what? The scorecard still sucks.
Right.
So when I look at Manaea coming out and throwing up a snowman early, I understand and I accept and I grant you that he absolutely stabilized his evening. What I'm saying is, in a pennant race, when things are getting tight fast for me, that's not good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was
that's
good.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, understood, but then it can't be everybody else either. Then you're relying on three rookies who at some point are going to get hit. So.
Why do we say that? So if you could take the...
You think everybody's going to be perfect the rest of the way? They've been in for eight so far.
No, I mean, nobody's perfect, but I'm willing to roll the dice with young players who look like they're not overwhelmed and have much better stuff than Sean Manaea.
And then even if it is, they got 17 games to go. Like, you're talking about maybe two of the games. Maybe Sean Manaea would start two of the games.
Understood, but you're only up two games.
Right.
I know three with the, you know, with the tiebreaker. That's why I said if there was more room to experiment, I'd be more willing to give Manaea room to find himself. I'm past that point.
Right.
Egos aside, and I'm not saying Manaea wouldn't handle it well, but egos and salaries, that is out the window. If you're 22 years old making $400,000, the prorated rookie minimum, and you're better than Sean Manaea, which I deem all three of those kids better, you're pitching.
All right, so you don't want Manaea in the rotation.
I don't.
Will the Mets be a playoff team?
If they take him out, I think they squeeze in.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jeff is in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Jeff.
I'm all right. I'm done with the Mets. You know, guys, I've called in. I'm a big Mets fan. BT, I agree with you. Manaea can't start again. Sal, I hate to say it, they're done. They're not going to hold on to this two-game lead. I know technically it's three, but the writing's been on the wall for months. Unfortunately, they just don't have it this year. And I'm with you, BT. The rotation's got to be the three kids, Holmes and Peterson. Yes, Sal, it was his best start, but It wasn't good. It still wasn't good.
Right.
And there's a difference when you spread out three or four runs over five innings, then you put them in a 4-0 hole. This team has that thing. As soon as they fall behind, there are bat changes, there are approach changes. Unfortunately, it's just not there this year, and I wish it was. I watch every single game. I got my whole family. We watch every single game. They're just missing it. They're just missing it this year.
Well, right now they're making it, actually. Thank you for the call, Jeff. Right now, you know, it's funny to me, and I've heard this from many people. It's funny to me that they've played 140, what, five games, whatever it is?
Something like 17 to go, right?
And they're still well over 500 and still in a playoff spot. But yet, the world is falling down and they don't have it. They're not good enough. They haven't been good enough. Are the Reds good enough? Are the Giants good enough? Like, there's a difference between saying the Mets have had a disappointing regular season than saying that the Mets aren't good enough and are not going to be a playoff team while they currently hold a playoff
spot. That's why I'm not definitive with it. And it's not to straddle the fence. It's to understand the math that is still favoring the Mets. I understand that. But right now, Sal, the only thing favoring the Mets is the math. Because there's nothing to say about this team like, this is the reason. Now, you can say Soto, which would make sense, or you can say Pete, okay, but I'm seeing zeros every night from the offense pretty much. So there's nothing in terms of their recent play, tangibly, that a Met fan that is really real about the situation can point to now and say, okay, this is why we're going to win. It's really just about the math.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay, so why do you think the Mets will make the playoffs? Beside the fact that they're up two games.
I gave you all the reasons yesterday. I'll give it again. I still believe in their top guys in that order. Now, if Lindor doesn't hit, if Alonso doesn't hit, they're not going to make the playoffs. But I still believe that I'll take those three up against any other three in baseball.
But again, to be clear, it's belief that it will return, not what they're currently doing.
Well, a week ago, they were on fire.
I understand that, but they're shutting out every night almost. They're not hitting.
Okay, but haven't you learned that it changes, if not daily, it certainly changes weekly?
Yes, I have.
If the Mets win two in a row and the Giants lose two in a row, what do you think everybody's going to say today?
It depends. Yeah. I mean, well, it depends. It depends what they say now. If they say that the Mets are absolutely out, and then they say, well, then now the Mets are absolutely in, well, that's exactly what they're going to say. Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying that I think that the Mets will find a way to get in. I think that those chances really increase exponentially if you sit Manaea out here. But I think, and the Mets have been very cyclical. They're red hot, they're ice cold, they're hot, they're cold. I get it.
Right.
But generally, not always, generally, that's reflective of a team that's not good enough to win it all.
Okay.
Or good enough to finish a 162-game race. Because when you're that inconsistent, you're inconsistent for a reason.
Fair enough. So why does anybody believe that the Giants or Reds are going to catch them?
Well, because they're getting hot late, and that's generally something that gives you some confidence.
Okay.
Like, the Mets played great down the stretch last year,
but it was
a totally different vibe.
So it's not based on anything that happened in the 145 games till now, because the Mets still have a better record. Even with all their flaws and all their struggles and all the losing for many different reasons, they're still two games, at the very least, better than the Giants, who they own the tiebreaker with head-to-head because they beat them head-to-head.
Yep.
They still have that over them. Now, it doesn't mean that the Mets can't collapse. Obviously, they could, but if you're asking me reasons why, I just gave them. I believe the Mets have an ace with Nolan McLean. I believe the Mets' back end of the bullpen is better than most, whether it's Diaz, Rogers, Raley, they have some weapons there. And I'll trust Lindor, Soto, and Alonso. You don't want to throw in Vientos, who's getting hot a little bit too. I just, like, it's not coming out of nowhere. They have the pieces. They are 76-69, where you have the Reds, who are a game over 500. The Giants, it's taken the Giants, who have gone on some kind of stretch here, beating whoever they're beating, the Rockies, whoever it else may be. I know the Diamondbacks now. They're three games over 500. Like, that's a team that I'm supposed to believe is better than the Mets. Furthermore, the Padres are three games. The Padres and all the moves that they made and all the loaded talent that they've had, they're three measly games better than the Mets. So if people believe that the Mets can be caught, why can't I believe that the Padres can be caught?
You can.
Yeah.
I'm not saying not to believe it. I'm just saying proceed with caution. Because as much as we're sitting here saying that the Mets, you know, we're not sure about the Giants and the Mets have more wins, the Mets don't have 12 more wins than the Giants. They have two.
Right.
So they're basically playing the same type of baseball. The difference is one team's red hot, one team is ice cold.
Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Sal, BT, what's happening, guys?
What's up, Larry?
Listen, when I heard Hoff on the fan yesterday, I mean, I couldn't agree with him more. I'm a Mets fan for 60 years, as you guys know. This team, Sal, I hate to tell you, is circling the drain. Not only are they going to miss the playoffs, I think they're going to have a tough time finishing 500 with this team. They are just not playing inspired baseball. I don't know if it's the hitters, if it's Mendoza, if it's something.
Larry, let me ask you something. Larry, let me, real quick, I don't mean to jump on you there, but I am curious, where do you stand on Manaea? Would you run him out there again, or would you sit him?
They shouldn't have started him last night. I mean, I'd rather go with those three kids and Peterson and Holmes. Manaea, he's a detriment to the team. Okay. He can't pitch. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever.
He's hurt.
I believe that. But, I mean, if you're hurt, you're hurting the team.
I agree, which is why I'm saying I'd sit him.
Yeah, I'd sit him. Yeah, I would definitely sit him.
But
absolutely.
I think he's hurt.
First of all, you're both late to the party. Second of all, if he can't pitch, how come he threw up three scoreless innings last night against the Phillies?
What do you mean late to the party? I don't even know what that means. Late to the party about what, Manaea?
Manaea had his worst days weeks ago. Yeah, so if I'm saying weeks ago that I would have moved Manaea to the bullpen,
okay,
why is it taking everybody else so long to get to that conclusion?
Well, I think everybody has different barometers, and I think
But so you're going based off of his best start. That's the barometer?
But
that's
the delineation, where
you can say, now move to the bullpen?
Well, you're making it seem like he scattered three hits and struck out 10 over 7 1/3 innings, and the Mets won 2-1. I mean, he gave up 4 rockets to start. The game was over.
Right, and then...
So if that's his best start, I'm not impressed.
And then had 3 scoreless innings behind it. I'm just saying that, like, the time to say that Manaea shouldn't be in the rotation is not today.
Yeah, but hold on. Sprode hadn't come up yet. Yeah. So I didn't know what Sprode... And Tong, when you said that 3 weeks ago, Sal, the only person we had seen was McClain. So it was McClain. It was whatever remnants you had of Senga, Holmes, who was at innings limits, and, you know, obviously not going to give you length. There were a dearth of options. So the reason why I'm... aside from the fact that he stinks, the reason why I'm changing my mind on Manaea is I have been provided with evidence to the contrary. They are better than him. It's not late to the party. It's acknowledging the new information we've all received. But you're just not reacting to what we are.
The new information is that Manaea is coming off his best start. No, that's a fact. You're a stats guy. Look at the stats.
I did. You don't think I looked at him.
But that's what I'm saying. So the new information is Manaea showed you last night his best start. Like, I didn't believe he could last 4 or 5 innings. He did that last night. So that's new information.
All right, so he buckled down and was a pro and did his job.
Right.
But he didn't do the most important aspect of his job, which is give his team a chance to win again.
I think 4 runs in that ballpark through 5 innings is giving
you. They don't have
team
Trey Turner. Half the lineup's hurt. Come on, it's not the potent Phillies team that we think it is.
Understood. I'm saying you don't think 4 runs in 5 innings is giving your team a chance to win?
I think it's giving you a chance to win, but I don't think it's good. I think it's relative. Like, no, I mean, 4 runs in. I'll tell you this. If Max Fried or Sprode or just pulling names, if any of those pitchers, anybody, gives up 4 runs at Rodon, 5 innings in a playoff game, I'm getting on the air saying you didn't do your job.
Understood. This is not a playoff game, number one. Number two, he settled down. Number three, Jonah Tong, who you trust more than Manaea, gave up 4 runs in 6 innings, giving up home runs all over the place.
Who looked better? Who looked more dominant? Looked more in control?
Sean Manaea this year, even in those 3 2/3 starts, has been more dominant than almost any pitcher on the Mets outside of McClain.
This is an interesting sword to die on. Good luck. I sincerely mean this.
Is that a sword to die on?
Good luck with Manaea, because I don't see it.
No. I'm just saying, you asked who looked more dominant. If you actually watch Sean Manaea pitch, it's why I said get Senga out of here and move Manaea to the pen, because he's shown that he could be dominant. It's just that he couldn't be dominant for 5 or 6 innings. He's shown he could be dominant for 2 or 3 innings.
I don't trust him. You can keep him. Good luck, dude.
He
looks terrible.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Last night, the New York Yankees lost their second game to the Tigers, and the offense has gone cold. There's no doubt. The offense has gone cold a couple days. I have a tough problem getting really on the offense. We're going to get on Aaron Judge in a second, specifically. But the offense has been really good for a long time. And I know, they need to hit home runs. They don't. Okay. Everyone needs to hit home runs. I was just watching the end of the Toronto game with the Astros. How'd they win? By a sixth base hit rally, or did they win with a solo home run in the top of the ninth? Like, everyone relies on home runs. Do the Yankees rely on them a little bit more? Yeah, sure. They also hit a lot more. And home runs don't disappear in the postseason. They don't. They might for the Yankees, not overall in baseball. You got to hit home runs, you want to win. Bottom line. And I also don't think every time someone swings and misses, it means they were going for the home run. It's so obnoxious. Every at-bat, someone swings and misses. Oh, why is he swinging for the fences? Maybe he just swung and missed. I think Jazz has kind of had a couple swings like that, but not every swing and miss is like, oh, all these guys are doing is swinging for the fences. No. Sometimes you just swing and miss.
People don't know this, Chris. Before analytics, nobody ever swung and missed.
No, it's crazy. I know. Before analytics, nobody ever swung and missed. Now it's launch angle and home runs. That's why every time you swing and miss, it's going for the fences. It's annoying. So is the Yankee bullpen as of right now, because this is the bottom line. As my point was, yes, the offense is struggling the last couple games. It was on fire for a month. They've struggled the last couple games. They've been good pretty much all year. I have concerns about them hitting in the postseason like I do every single year. There's no doubt. There's nothing they can do. The offense is really good. I'm not overly concerned about it because I think the offense has really good hitters in it who are good. And it's just a matter of whether they perform in the postseason. There's nothing I can do. You spin that top. They built a good offense that scored a lot of runs, that's hit a lot of home runs, and has been doing it over the last 2 months, really, without Aaron Judge being a major contributor. I like the offense. I think the offense is good. Will they hit in the postseason? I have no freaking idea, but I think they are a talented offense. So I'm not overly concerned about it. There's nothing they can do. It's just a matter of whether they perform when they need to perform. But the bullpen right now is without question the biggest issue the New York Yankees have. And that's why I joked about blaming Aaron Boone. You have to be out of your mind. You must just so deep-seated hatred for the man. And I get it. He's had the nerve of not winning a championship his entire tenure. I get it. It's the longest tenure of a Yankee one. We all think he's an idiot. I get it. Fine. But what would you like him to do? Like, who do you want him to be? He brings in Weaver into this game. We'll get to that situation. He gets lit up. Tim Hill. Why are you throwing Tim Hill in there? Tim Hill gets lit up, giving up home runs. And he's been terrible against right-handed hitters all year long. Cruz couldn't get an out the other night. Leiter couldn't get an out either game. Doval is terrible. He throws 98 miles an hour. I've never seen outside of maybe Helsley in his 102 miles an hour. I mean, Doval throws 98, 99. It's getting blasted. He's been awful since coming over here from San Francisco. So Hill got lit up. Leiter got hit up. Doval got hit up. God forbid he throws Devin Williams. We all might have a fit. So in any big situation, if the game is even close at all, if they're down two runs or up two or three runs, you can't throw Leiter. You can't throw Doval. You can't throw Williams. You can't throw right now Hill. Who can you throw? Who's he supposed to go to? And the offense didn't give him an opportunity to go to Weaver in a big spot or go to Bednar, the only reliever that you really trust right now over the last couple games. The offense has got to score runs if you want him to go to that part of the bullpen, because as you see, he can't waste those guys when they're losing because he needs them to hold leads. Who else can he throw? If the offense doesn't score runs, Aaron Boone can't go to the top end of his bullpen because he needs them every time they have a lead, because there's no one else. He can't throw Weaver down two runs because he needs them every time they have a lead. You can't rely on just three guys. He's got to be able to trust guys, and right now he can't. There's no one to trust. The bullpen needs to figure itself out. And there's nothing that can be done. They just have to be better down the stretch. And right now, I'm at the point with the New York Yankees bullpen, and I tweeted this out, I am at the point with the New York Yankees bullpen that as much as I want to win the division, and I do, and thankfully the Blue Jays lost last night, and they are one rally the other night away from losing four consecutive games, and hopefully they're going through it a little bit. The division isn't over just yet, but it's going to be difficult. Even I would say that. I call the Blue Jays frauds. It's tough to come from behind. They're essentially down four games in the division with, you know, what is it, 17 now to play? It's very difficult. And I'm not giving up on that, but it's difficult. But as much as I would love to win the division, and this series against Boston is going to be huge because they absolutely have to play this wild card series in Yankee Stadium. So those games are critical. But you have to prepare yourself for the postseason. Like, you just have to. Because we could say whatever we want about how important it is to beat good teams. And we could say however much we want that it's important to beat the Red Sox, and it's important to have home field advantage, and it's important to win the division, and it's important to do this, and important to do that. And I'm not saying it's not important to do those things, but ultimately, they're going to the playoffs, they're going to most likely, and at least certainly, play a three-game series, and they better have their bullpen in order. Because all that matters, all that truly, truly matters. Home field advantage is important. Getting a bye is important. I want those things because it will help them. It will give them the best chance to win the World Series. But ultimately, all that's truly, truly important is how they play when they get there. That's it. That's the most important thing. How are they lined up? How are they playing? How well will they perform in the postseason? That's the most important thing. And so I know we want to win these games, and you can't, oh, how does he throw in this guy, and how is he throwing that guy, and how could you put this guy? I'll tell you right now, and I know Weaver didn't pitch well in this game, and we'll get into that situation, and how I think I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass while he pitched in the ninth inning last night. I trust Weaver. I trust Cruz. I trust Bednar. I trust no one else. I trust Yarbrough to keep a game close if he has to come in the third inning, but I don't know about late game situation. I trust three guys and maybe Tim Hill against lefties. Maybe. I trust those three guys. I'm sorry. If I'm the manager, I'm not pitching them to save close games. I'm not pitching them to keep them only down one run. I'm not pitching them to keep them only down two runs. I am only pitching them if it helped, if I know if they do their job, we win the game. That's it. Because I need them rested. I need those three arms not overworked these last 3 weeks. I need them ready to go. I need them to be able to throw a hell of a lot of pitches and pitch a hell of a lot of innings because they're the only three arms I trust. And when I get into the postseason, then I'll use them to keep a one-run game. When I get into the postseason, then I'll use them in the sixth down two if I need to get big outs with runners on. That's when I'll do it. When the games literally are win or go home. I'm not going to do it no matter how important you think the game may be against the Detroit Tigers. Because ultimately, it's not. It's not a postseason game. The season didn't end with the loss last night. And I have three arms that I trust, and I'm not overworking them down the stretch to have them dead upon arrival in the postseason because I'm trying to do other things. It sucks. The Yankees have put themselves in that position where that's the way I would view it. You want to win games? Score more runs. Don't put yourself in a position where you're down two in the sixth. Don't put yourself in a position where you're tied in the seventh, and then the guy who he does bring in that I trust gives up a couple runs. Well, now I'm not pitching Weaver and Cruz in a game where I could lose. Why would I do that? I can't afford them. They only have so many bullets in the. They only have so many things to do before. They only have so many things left in their arm before you can, you know, run them exhausted, run them ragged. You can't do it. Can't do it. They have got to be locked and loaded for the postseason, those three arms. They have to be. So as much as I want to win the division, as much as I want home field advantage in the wild card, the most important thing is that I go into the postseason with a team that can perform. I can't kill those three guys down the stretch of the season in the name of keeping games close so I can hopefully win a division I'm down four games in. I just can't do it. Can't do it. They want to win games, the offense has to be better. Bottom line. They want to win games, the offense has to be better. And that leads me to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, through this process, has been okay. He's been okay. For the last 2 months, he's been okay. He's gotten a lot of walks. He's gotten some hits. He scored some runs. But Aaron Judge, much like all the talk, we've spent so much time talking about Juan Soto and the great season he's having, and yet not being very productive or not impacting winning enough. Aaron Judge, and I understand he's dealing with a strain in his elbow. I get it. I know it mostly affects his throwing, obviously, and it doesn't affect the hitting all that much, but he's still hurt. And to have him perform the way he's performed, let's be honest. I know he hit the home run and passed Yogi Berra the other night, gave the Yankees a 1-0 lead. That's a clutch home run to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead. It's a clutch home run. But outside of that, in these games against the Astros, in these games against the Blue Jays, in these games now against Detroit, Aaron Judge hasn't done enough. And it's a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, it's a positive that this Yankee offense is good enough and has scored enough runs and has played well enough over the last 25 games to really, you know, feel confident that they've secured a playoff spot and given themselves at least a chance to go win a division. And they've done it scoring a ton of runs, and they've done it without Aaron Judge really having a big impact. And that's positive, because the team, even with Juan Soto last year, it was pretty much the two of them, and Judge was integral. I always say integral and people get on me. You needed Aaron Judge to perform last year, or you were doing nothing. This year, you have Bellinger having a great year. You have Trent Grisham having this surprise year. You have Giancarlo Stanton, who's been cold for the last 2 weeks, to be fair. But Giancarlo, who's gotten 900 OPS and is hitting 280 and arguably playing the best he's played in a Yankee uniform during the regular season. You've got Rice with a 800 OPS. You got Jazz with an 824 OPS. Like, you've got a deeper lineup. It's not perfect, but it's a much deeper lineup that's done a really nice job scoring runs without the great Aaron Judge being the great Aaron Judge. But now's the time. It's great that the offense isn't the two hitters that it was last year. And it's great that it's deeper and there are guys who've stepped up and had career years. But Aaron Judge has got to be the driving force of this team. He just has to be. And last night, he had a miserable game. The first three at-bats, when the game was still in the balance, he struck out looking at a fastball. He should have walked in that at-bat. There was a slide. There was a breaking ball low. But he still got caught looking at a fastball right on the outside corner. And then he hits into two double plays. And yes, the second double play, he smoked. It was probably over 105 miles an hour. He absolutely annihilated it, but he hit it right to the second base, the shortstop. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And that leads into the bullpen. The bullpen decisions are different if Judge hits one in the alley there. The bullpen decisions are different if Judge hits a three-run home run. Judge has got to get back to being the player he was that carried them offensively at the start of the year. Like, he's had the impact. During the start of the year, he was great. When they were building that division lead up to 6-7 games, he was the main reason. The bullpen was blowing games just like they're now, but Judge was carrying them. He was having an incredible year. He was as big a reason as anybody else for the reason that they got out to a 7-6 game lead against Tampa Bay. Over Tampa Bay, over Toronto, over Boston. And now he's just been a guy who they kind of pitch around a little bit. He'll get on base 2 times a game. But he is not driving the baseball for the most part, and he's not impacting, and he's not coming through in big spots. He's walked in some big spots, but he has not driven the baseball. He's not come through with that big hit that breaks open the game or changes the game or gets them back into a game. Judge has got to be better. And we can say till we're blue in the face, and God knows we do. We can say until we're blue in the face, this is embarrassing. This franchise has been unable to build a team that can win a championship for Judge. The idea that they can't put a team around Judge that can win a championship. What the hell's wrong with Brian Cashman? Judge has got to be there for the ride. And as much as I'll tell you that I still believe with how great he is, that event, there's no reason to not believe this postseason will be a good postseason, or that next postseason will be a good postseason. I think he's a great player. I expect great players to be great, and I always will. But that doesn't change the fact that he hasn't been. Right now, he hasn't been great. In previous postseasons, he hasn't been great. And we can say on and on and on, oh, he did, this team isn't good enough. And I actually saw this podcast, Yankee Files. I retweeted it. I think they put it in a great way. I really do. As I'm talking about, the team hasn't been good enough around Judge. You can't build a good enough team around Judge, and it's embarrassing. Here's the problem. The problem isn't that the Yankees aren't good enough to win a World Series. That's not why we're mad. That's not why we're frustrated. That's not the problem. The problem is the Yankees have been good enough to win a World Series almost every damn year, and they don't. That's the problem. We're not mad because they're some lousy team that comes nowhere near winning a championship or has no real chance to win a championship. That's not why we're mad. We're not mad because there's some fatal flaw that guarantees them failure in the end. That's not it. The problem is this team has been good enough most every year to win a championship, and in the biggest moments, they don't play well. That's why we're frustrated, because they keep getting back there and back there and back there, and they don't play well enough once they get there. Not winning the World Series is not proof that you weren't good enough to win the World Series. It's not, and too many people think it is. It's not. Not winning is not proof that you couldn't. You just didn't. The 2007 Patriots went undefeated until the Super Bowl. They lost that game. Is that proof they weren't good enough to win the Super Bowl? They weren't good enough, or they just didn't play well that game? Yankees have been good enough. They haven't played well. And a major part of that is that their superstar, best player on the planet, the joining the superstars and fable and fairy tale characters that are Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe D. He's joining that pantheon of not even real people. They're like fantasies. They are folk heroes. They're Paul Bunyan. And yet here he is joining them. He's the Paul Bunyan for the 40 years from now. And he's got to be part of winning it. He's got to be part of, like, if Judge goes off in any of these postseasons, maybe they do have a ring. Maybe they do. If Judge didn't strike out 15 of his first 17 at-bats in the World Series last year, maybe they overcome not hitting a cutoff man. Maybe they overcome not covering first base. Maybe they overcome their failures if Judge can hit them to it. So I'm tired of hearing the roster's not good enough around Judge, and this Judge has got to be the guy. And right now, as they are chasing down a division, as they are trying to win these games, or they are trying to set themselves up for the postseason, we could talk about the bullpen till we're blue in the face. If Aaron Judge isn't going to hit and isn't going to impact scoring runs, I'm not sure how much it matters. He's got to be better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
In fact, I argued with Sean last week, where I was defending the Yankees as a Met fan. Hey, I think they're the best team in the American League talent-wise. And Sean tells me every reason they suck. And we do this all the time. Like, we take callers from Yankee fans. They're terrible at this. They're terrible at that. And yet, someone with a respected voice said it last night on TV,
And it got Yankee fans all upset. If you missed it, here is the respected longtime baseball guy, Buck Martinez, on the Blue Jay broadcast, simply reacting to the fact that the Yankees had an inning in which they gave up 150 runs.
The Yankees, they're not a good team. I don't care what their record is. They have a lot of wild pitches. They make a lot of mistakes in the field. They don't run the bases very well. If they don't hit home runs, they don't have a chance to win.
Now, I say this with all due respect because I love Buck. That's a caller to WFAN. That's a Yankee fan. Yeah, because he said it, the voice of the Blue Jays, Yankee fans were very upset.
Mm.
So joining us right now, the culprit in this whole thing, one of the voices of the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm a fan of his work. The great Buck Martinez. Buck, would you like to apologize to Yankee fans? Or I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know what I would apologize for. I'm just stating the facts. You know, they're 19-23 against the East. They're 20-22 in one-run games. And you know what? I played against the Yankees when I was at the Royals, and I have tremendous respect for their organization. But this particular team makes a lot of mistakes, and it costs them ball games. And, you know, they have a lot of wild pitches. You know, they make errors. They don't run the bases particularly well. And, you know, they have some good players. There's no question about it. Aaron Judge passed Yogi last night with home run. And, you know what? This is not their best version of the New York Yankees, and I think everybody would admit that.
Did you know that you were going viral after you said this?
No, I don't know. I don't do social media, so I don't know anything about that stuff.
Well, here's what I'll say. I'm not even a Yankee fan. I don't think they're a bad team or not a good team. I think they're a flawed team, but I think everybody's flawed. Like, I think the Blue Jays are flawed. I think the Tigers are flawed. So I think the wording is a little harsh only because the Yankees can win the World Series. Would you agree with that statement, that they could win the World Series?
I think could. No question. I think anybody could. And you're right. Baseball doesn't have many perfect teams. You know, I think, you know, everybody at the start of the season thought the Dodgers and the Yankees were going to run away with everything and nobody else should even play because they were stacked with talent. And obviously, you know, talent doesn't always end up on top. You can have great players, but if they don't execute as a team, they're not going to win. And I think we have seen that consistently over the years, that teams have a very difficult time winning back-to-back championships. And it doesn't happen very often because every season is different. Bullpens aren't the same from year to year. Right. Starting pitchers get hurt. And there's a lot of injuries around baseball. And Blue Jays just lost Bo Bichette. And he was having a phenomenal season. The Yankees know all about Bo and how good he is. And Vladdy, of course, is having a great month of September. And it started in Yankee Stadium. And he's always hit well. But, you know, Blue Jays have a concern now because they don't have Bo. Right. And they don't know when they're going to get him back. But they've got coverage defensively, but they're not going to make up for his offense. I mean, he hits the best pitching in the game in tough situations, and that's tough to replace.
Yeah, injuries are really tough. I know the Dodgers have dealt with that a lot as well. But, you know, Buck, let me ask you about the fundamentals of the game. We talk about often these guys are professionals. Like, they should be able to know how to charge a ball correctly or know your, you know, the situation on the base path. Why are we seeing so many more of these, let's call them little league errors in this game?
Because there's not a focus on defense, and there's not a focus on base running. And teams just, you know, everybody's about hitting the ball out of the ballpark, spin rate, exit velocity, launch angle, all that stuff. The game has never changed. If the team that prevents runs and scores more runs than their opponent generally wins the game. And the fundamentals, and that's what the Blue Jays have done really well this year. They cleaned up their base running. They cleaned up their defense. Dalton Varsho's having a great season in center field, saving runs. Defensively, they have played very well as a team. And you know what? That's why they're always in games. They've got 43 comeback wins because their defense tightens up late in the game. They make great plays to save runs, and they allow their offense to come back and score late in the game and come back with wins.
We're talking to Buck Martinez, who deeply offended Yankee fans last night by saying what they usually say, which is they're not very good. Now, our overnight host, Chris McMonagle, I mean, he was crying on the air. He's very, very upset with you. In fact, the words he used to describe the Blue Jays, because he wouldn't attack you. You're a good dude. We all respect you. But he decided to attack the Blue Jays. He said they're a bunch of frauds, they're a bunch of losers, and they haven't won a playoff game in a decade. Would you like to counter our overnight's harsh, harsh critique of the first-place Toronto Blue Jays?
No, he's correct. They haven't won in a decade. They lost six straight playoff games. And, you know, you can't argue. And like Tuna said years ago, you are what your record says you are.
Right.
The Blue Jays are in first place by 3 games. With what, 18 games to left? Mm-hmm. 18 games left in the schedule. I like their position. They have the tiebreaker against Boston. They have the tiebreaker against the Yankees. And they're in the driver's seat. All they got to do is take care of business. All they got to do is play and win. And they come back. Last night, they were no hit through 5 innings. Springer hits a home run in the 6th. That starts the Blue Jays rally. That energized the bench. They came back, scored 2 in the 9th, 1 in the 10th, and won it. On a ground ball to the first baseman. Miles Straw scored ahead of the throw to the plate. They win the walk-off game, and they got the first win of a series against a very good Houston team. So, yeah, you know what? They're playing very good right now.
Right. Is there a specific catalyst to that? Like, we've talked a lot about the Mets today and how different it feels from a year ago when they had the Iglesias singing, the OMG, all this stuff going on, even though they were probably on paper a worse team than this year's Mets team. But they had this thing where they felt together. Is there a catalyst like that with the Blue Jays?
Yeah, there is. This is the best group of players I've ever seen in Blue Jays franchise history. As far as rooting for each other, playing for each other, hanging out with each other, they all get along. The pitchers get along with the position players. The starters get along with the relievers. The players get along with the coaching staff. It's really a great situation. And you can see it reflected late in the game when everybody is at the top step thinking that I'm going to have an opportunity to help this team win. And that's what it's all about. It's winning games. It's not how many hard hit balls you hit. It's not how far you hit them. It's how many games can you win. And that's what John Snyder has emphasized all season long.
We're talking to Buck Martinez, of course, does a great job calling Blue Jay games. And last night called the Yankees out, and a lot of Yankee fans were offended. And some of the Yankee fans boggle my mind. Like, I'm about to introduce Sean Morash to you. Sean and I argued last week about the Yankees. He's a Yankee fan. He said, they suck. They're not going anywhere. They're a bunch of losers. They can't beat good teams. I'm the one who defends them. And even he is a perfect test case. He agrees with you, but he's mad at you, too. So, Sean, what's your critique of Buck?
So, Buck, I just want
to... I'm sorry that the fans are mad at me. I got great advice my first year of broadcasting from the great Tony Kubek. Tony was doing games in Toronto at the time. They had 3 different networks carrying Blue Jay games, and I was working for one of those networks. And I had a situation with the Blue Jays players. They disagreed with something I said on a talk show, and I was really down. It was my first year broadcasting, and I thought, I'm not doing this. I hate this job. It's not like being a player. But Tony pulled me aside and says, listen, you played 17 years in the big leagues. You played on some great teams in Kansas City, Milwaukee, and Toronto. You have a right to your opinion because you've been through all of that before.
That's right.
And that's all I said. It was my opinion, and that's what I feel.
Buck, I agree with your opinion.
Damn right. I'm on Buck.
Hold on, Buck. God. Buck, we agree with your opinion. We do suck, but I got to be honest. It felt slightly cowardly to do this right after the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 2 out of 3. Why didn't you say it this weekend when the Yankees were beating Toronto?
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, the Yankees, they didn't have many hits. They didn't beat Toronto, but for the season, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees.
Damn right! So. You tell them! Buck, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you,
Buck. Thought that was great. I'm glad you came on to talk about it. And you know what? When you guys play in the ALDS or ALCS, we'll talk to you again, my man.
Well,
I appreciate
that would mean they've won a playoff game then.
That's right. That's exactly
we got to win a playoff game, Bo.
Take care, Buck.
Thank you, Buck.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. Buck Martinez. That's a good sport right there.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps. It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yer. Let's go. Let's talk sports. Yeah, the Yankees, the Mets, both lost the series. BTA, you know what BTA stands for? Oh, man. We might as well just skip. Like, I'm going to do the baseball for the next half hour. And then let's just get into week 2. Let's just get into week 2 NFL talk and, I don't know, Thursday night football. At least we got a good Thursday night football game. The Washington Commanders versus the Green Bay Packers. Bum, 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 bum. Like, I'd rather just do that. I went to the game tonight. Shout out to YouTube. We're live. We're up and running on the YouTube. If you can see me, I'm rocking a New York or Nowhere knit cap. That was the best thing about tonight. The New York or Nowhere knit cap night giveaway. That's the best knit cap out of all of them I think I've ever collected. I remember years ago we had a WFAN one. I think I still have that one. This one is like, you know, it's made by a fashion company. It's good quality. I'm in here flexing it right now. Go to the stadium, get your bobbleheads. Who said that? Go to the stadium, enjoy the vibes. Who told you to do that? Go to the stadium and enjoy the weather. It's not humid out. It's not hot anymore. Get your drinks, get your food, and get your TikToks and your reels. And, you know, there's one more game tomorrow. And make sure you get there early. The president of the United States is coming. They're saying get there at 4 o'clock. I'm going to sit this one out. And I'm going to watch football at home. But, yeah, if you think Yankee Stadium security is tough to get through on the regular, I can't imagine tomorrow. You might have to bring your birth certificate to get in there. 888-808-1019. We'll start with the Yankees because that's the game I watched. I did watch the out-of-town scoreboard, and the Mets never led, and it got out of hand. And I don't even have it in me to troll the Mets or laugh at the Mets or make fun of the Mets. I told you last night that Clay Holmes wasn't going to do anything tonight for the Mets to stop the bleeding against Christopher Sanchez. So we'll get to that. But, you know, I was at this Yankee game, and I was confident in Carlos Rodon. I've been confident in Carlos Rodon. And when I ended my show last night, I did not get to it, but I heard Big Mac go in on it. You know, Buck Martinez, and I heard him on with Evan and Tiki today. Buck Martinez talking about the New York Yankees. And Buddy was spot on. And I'm sure he had a whole day today, and it culminated tonight. I'm pretty sure the Blue Jays lost tonight, but that doesn't matter. The Yankees lost a series, and this man last night after the Yankees had a 9-run inning on his broadcast told the world, I don't care about their record. You know, the Yankees aren't good. He said, the Yankees, they're not a good team. I don't care what their record is. They have a lot of wild pitches. They make a lot of mistakes in the field. They don't run the bases very well. If they don't hit home runs, they don't have a chance to win. I'm like, phew. I was going to talk about it last night and say, like, he's not wrong. We don't like it when someone else says it. Someone on the outside says it. But this is a former player. This is an analyst. This is a guy that calls games. He didn't have the heart to say it while the Blue Jays were losing to the Yankees over the weekend. But, man, it got out of hand again tonight. It's eerily similar because they could only score by the home run. Last night, Judge, Belly. Tonight, Austin Wells. I didn't even see that because by the time Austin Wells hit that one, I was trying to beat the traffic. And those Tigers poured it on late. And I came into this series saying that the Yankees got to sweep the Tigers. Yeah, right. Honestly, though, I came into this 12-game final exam, this gauntlet, as people are calling it, but this is the last test, man. This is the final exam. Saying that the Yankees need to win 8 out of 12 because I wanted them to win every series. Show me. Prove it to me that you can beat these postseason teams. Well, avoid the sweep tomorrow with Donald Trump in the building, but you can't win that series now. 888-808-1019, and this bullpen is a mess. I was sitting here, you know, thinking, I'm like, when was the last time I was really pumped, like on the radio talking about the Yankees? I think it was trade deadline day. I think trade deadline day, when we actually looked at the sum of all things and who was on the team and what Brian Cashman did to shore up this run, I think we all just did way too much celebrating, way too much patting on the back of Brian Cashman, way too much, looking ahead, thinking that the Yankees just had everything they needed. And they won some games against bum-ass teams, yeah, you know. And now they're cramming for this final exam. They're going to make the postseason. But when you watch games like these last two, it doesn't make you feel like they're going to do anything in the postseason. It makes you feel like the same things we've been talking about are going to rear their ugly head. They can't manufacture runs. They don't pass the baton. They don't play any type of small ball. They don't rally. They don't, like, it's home run or nothing. Feast or famine. The Bronx Bombers, literally, or nada. And I'm not mad at Will Warren. I'm not mad at Carlos Rodon. Eerily similar. They both only gave up two runs. Not a lot of hits. The offense has to do something. Aaron Judge, I'm talking to you, bro. That's not it, man. That's not it. You have the opportunity. You got to cash in. Not ground into double plays. Like, this team, I don't know, man. They make you feel like they can do it, and then they kind of remind you that, like, this is not it. And then when you look at this bullpen, like I'm talking about, would everybody in the bullpen give it up tonight? Mark Leiterfluid Jr., Camilo Doval, send him back. Send him back. Send him wherever Jake Bird is with the Rail Riders. Tim Hill came in that Nas represent. I heard that. I was still in the stadium when that happened. But it's like, man, by that time, they're shot. They're cooked. The stadium starts to empty. They feel that. You're throwing Luke Weaver into that situation. There's something to be said. And I think I heard a caller say this, and I think I heard Susan talk about it. There's something to be said about having so many guys that are used to being put in save situations, end of the game, close out, three outs to get situations, and then putting them in the bullpen and just expecting them to be set up guys or first guy out of the pen. You know, it's back to that Yankee arrogance. The Yankees love to play guys out of position, right? Same thing with relievers. Oh, yeah, you can get it done. Yeah, come over here. We'll just have you do this. And when it doesn't work out, it's like, well, let's get Austin Slater up. I wish I saw Austin Slater pitch in person, but I don't know what to tell you guys. Not a good one. Another ugly one. In 2 days, the Detroit Tigers put a football score up, 23-3 versus the New York Yankees. They only score via solo shots. There's a lot of question marks in this bullpen. You do not feel so good about this Yankee bullpen like you did coming out of the trade deadline and even this Yankee lineup, right? You guys can't whip on Anthony Volpe tonight. It's not Volpe's fault tonight. They did that without Volpe tonight. You know, when I was in there, I think they had three hits. They ended up having eight, but it's not a good night. Not a good night. Even though you had a good amount of people in there to get those knit caps and the vibes were right, you know, even while you were down a little bit, it's not good enough. You lose to the Tigers, who had just lost a series to the White Sox, just lost a series to the Mets. The Let It Happen Mets. Let it happen. Like, again, they just let it happen. First inning. Clay Holmes all over the place. Hitting guys. I think they had four hit by pitches tonight, maybe five. Let me go look. But like, it's tough when you're in a losing streak to go down and not have the lead. There's no confidence. You're already in the hole. There's no faith. You're already trying to get back. You're already pressing. Here we go again in that building with those Philly fans. They're nasty, man. And you know who's the nastiest guy of them all in this set? Harrison Bader. Playing center field. Leading off tonight, hitting, you know, he was looking for revenge. He was vengeful against the Mets tonight. And then a guy like Max Kepler, five runs batted in tonight. I mean, they all got some for the most part. Schwarber with a knock. Harper with a knock. He was hit by a pitch. Realmuto, two knocks. Brandon Marsh, three hits, two ribbies. Like, throughout their whole lineup, man, everybody got some. Otto Kemp, Bryson Stott. And to think that they don't have Trey Turner, and to think that they don't have Alec Baum. No problem. What the Phillies are doing right now is getting their get back for the regular season and from last year. What the Phillies are doing right now is trying to sweep the Mets and say, yeah, you got us last postseason. We're trying to push you so far back, it's going to be tough for you to make the postseason. And that's where we are, folks. We are in the collapse. You can be positive, Tommy. You can get on air like Sal Licata and say you're not worried. Nobody can look at the New York Mets right now and not recognize that they are disconnected. They cannot hit. They cannot pitch. There is no fire. There is no intensity. There is no consistency. Start at the top with Francisco Lindor. Did he have a hit in three games against the Phillies? No. No. Not getting it done. Now go to Juan Soto. Juan Soto's happy being a Met, right? See? Told you Juan Soto loves being a Met. So what? Juan Soto's going to get his 40-40 season. Is he going to get an at-bat in the wild card round? Is he going to get to the postseason? Like, it's panic time, man. It's panic time. I just was looking at Twitter. The Reds came back and rallied, and the Reds beat the Padres. So when you look at the standing, like, we're in this spot right now looking at the Mets. Like, how do they make the postseason? They have to win series. They have to win out. Like, or if they could be out of postseason standing this time next week. So, yeah, the Reds have defeated the Padres. The Mets have a two-game lead over the Giants. And the Reds for the final NL wildcard spot. The Mets own the tiebreaker over the Giants, but the Reds have the tiebreaker over the Mets. It's a 2-1 victory over San Diego. And the Mets will face San Diego in their building next week. You know, they got one more here against Philly. I expect them to get swept, but we'll see what happens. And then the Texas Rangers, not for nothing, the Texas Rangers are fighting for their lives. You got to host them. They beat the Brewers. Did they end up sweeping the Brewers? Baseball is crazy right now. Luckily, we got football because I'm about to be checked out. 888-808-1019. The Texas Rangers just swept the Milwaukee Brewers. Yep, the best team in baseball. And guess who's coming to town next? Guess who the Mets have to host? The super hot Texas Rangers. But you know what the Mets put out there today? On pace to break 3 million fans this year at Citi Field. Be in attendance when we do so and receive a special gift from us. Thank you, fans. You did your part. Thank you, fans. You answered the call, Steve Cohen. Oh, there better be some people in there, right? Well, now you go to Citi Field and you get loud. Now you go to Citi Field and you let Steve Cohen hear you. Is Steve tweeting tonight? Where's the tweet at? Where's the tweet about the Fab Four? Eric Chavez, where's your Instagram story about, oh, well, what now? What you say now? The fans got to get loud about this because this is unacceptable. $340 million team, the largest contract in the history of American sports. $34 million to Francisco Lindor, $30 million to Pete Alonso. What are they doing right now to pick you up? What are they doing right now to give you faith? You're going to have to sweat this out the rest of the way. And it might not even be the rest of the way. You might have to sweat this out for another week. And then if you fall out of it, you're just like, hands in the air. That's it, folks. We don't have the pitching. And this expensive lineup is not hitting. And this second-year manager now we're looking at differently. Carlos Mendoza, I don't know what to tell you guys about the Mets right now, but they are free-falling. They are in a losing streak. They never have the lead. They go too many innings with just nothing being produced. But Juan Soto's going to have a 40-40 season, so at least you have that. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break. We will get to your calls. And then, seriously, like, once we turn the page to Thursday, we should just start talking about NFL Week 2 because this has been a miserable couple days. Like, they got BTA, belt to ass, both the Mets and the Yankees, back-to-back nights. And this is supposed to be the time you're playing your best baseball. This is supposed to be the time that you're getting ready for October. This is supposed to be the time that you are, like, showing your fans we're ready. Showing your fans that we got it. And there are still a lot of question marks and some things to be seen on both sides. So we'll talk about it. Call me up with your questions. Call me up with your concerns. The Mets lose the series. The Mets lose 4 in a row, 5 in a row. Could have almost been 6 in a row, actually. And they lose tonight 11-3. And the Yankees, back-to-back nights. You hang around for a little bit, but then after the 7th inning, it all goes to S. They lose 11-1. And yeah, that's all she wrote, folks. That's all I got for the open. It's not fun. It's not a good time. It's not great. It's not great. I don't know what to tell you guys. I haven't believed either one of these teams were going anywhere. I haven't believed that either one of these teams were winning the World Series. I didn't entertain any of that. And now you're just seeing these things that it's like, how do they overcome it? We don't have the answers. We're running out of time. And I know the Yankees are going to make the postseason. So I guess we'll start talking about a wild card series. Are you excited for that? First time we'll ever see a 3-game wild card series with the Yankees in it. Maybe they'll host it. Maybe not. Maybe they have to go to Fenway. Nightmare. And the Mets, like the Mets had to sweat it out last year, but it was a way different feel. It was an exciting feel playing that last game, going down to play those last two games in Atlanta because they came back from the dead. But this year, oh, the Mets are at the big boy table. This year, the Mets were talking about building a dynasty. This year, the Mets were talking about getting to the World Series, Juan Soto being the missing piece. They had a five and a half game lead in their division. That got smoked. And when you actually look at the numbers, like I went on ChatGPT last night, they're 31-45 since June 13th. They're not a good team. They have some good players. They have some talent. But collectively, they are not a good team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.